Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Bradford, hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, what a week. What a week, dude. We got the Emmys this Friday. I mean, big week for all of us.
Oh, dude, it's been a crazy week, and we're getting to close to the end of it. I'm doing something tomorrow, which I can't really say yet, but I can share that with you hopefully next week.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it was the thing that I found out.
On the road.
Yeah, on the
I'm
road.
I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And then we got the Emmys Friday. We got Port Chuck Saturday, birthday weekend.
And you know,
it's a crazy weekend, dude.
What we just put out. So every month on Patreon, we do virtual hangs for a couple of the tiers where people come on a live Zoom meeting with us. We all see each other and we chat and ask questions, and we do that every month.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're doing that on Friday night.
On Friday night.
On Emmy night. So it's going to be a really fun weekend.
Yes.
Emmy night before the Emmys, we'll do some virtual hangs. Then hopefully we'll be celebrating your victory and
whatever, dude.
And then we'll have Port Chuck rehearsal.
Yes, we were going to have rehearsal
Friday
and
night.
We'll have some behind the scenes there. So all this is taking place on Patreon, the virtual hangs, the Port Chuck concert, and all this crazy content that we do on the road. Bonus podcast, Motivation Monday, Thirsty Thursday with Bradford. All this stuff's on Patreon. You can cancel anytime. But if you're thinking about it, the Friday night hangs are going to be great. Yeah. And then Port Chuck and behind the scenes of Port Chuck stuff.
And then the Q&A after with Port Chuck.
It's just like so much going on. And it's so exciting, though, dude. I have so much energy. I'm like so freaking jacked right now to just freaking get it done. And I can't wait.
And then, once this weekend is over, then we have like 2 or 3 weeks left till we hit the road again.
I know, dude. It's like,
it's nuts.
I know. It's crazy. It's like we're on the road in July. We're hitting OKC, St. Louis, Kansas City,
Cincinnati, Columbus,
Grand Rapids, and Chicago. And it's going to be amazing. Everything is still cold on thejackal.com. So go check it out. The tickets are there. Everything's there. Capacities are being lifted.
Yep.
We're still going to have a great time. We are doing a Q&A with the VIP instead of a meet and greet. But you know what? It turns into a whole nother show. It's so fun. And, you know, when we feel that we can get back to doing the meet and greets, we will as soon as we can. So other than that,
in the meantime, this is a pretty unique opportunity to spend an extra hour with us after the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask questions and mess around and like the humor that comes from the Q&A.
Oh, dude.
Look out.
Dude, when we're both crying, laughing during the Q&A, we know it's going pretty well.
Yeah. So so your VIP ticket gets you obviously our 90-minute comedy show and then an hour long Q&A after the show to hang out with us.
Boom.
And Jeremy.
Yep.
So it's a lot of fun. And this might be a flash in the pan. This might be a unique opportunity to do that.
Sure.
Absolutely. So we're having fun doing it. So it is Emmy week, as we said before. We didn't get as many Emmy chats done this time around as we did the last time, but boy, have they been fun. And
yes, they've been great.
We are so delighted. I, you know, in my head, this guy was nominated last year, but he wasn't.
Right.
And it is mind-boggling to me, and so, and yet so cool that his work on General Hospital has netted him his first like major award nomination, which is so cool. So Jeff Kober's here, and we hope you enjoy this, because boy, did we. We're delighted to be joined by, I don't know, someone that has really kind of been a shining star in the GH world for the last couple of years. And, you know, hopefully his character, who's been sent upriver, will float back downriver, because people float downriver all the time on GH, clearly.
Well, yeah, Sonny's floated downriver about 2 miles and we can't find him. But so this guy, Cyrus, we know where to find him. Jeff Kober's with us.
Hey, man.
Hello.
What's going on, Jeff?
Oh, you know, just swimming upstream, just like the salmon.
Yeah, buddy.
Going up there to spawn.
So has your last day aired yet?
I think it has, because
it has.
Instagram was alive with people alternately saying about time, or God, we're going to miss you, or just cut your hair.
Hey, at least they're talking about you, dude.
Well, right? I mean, no one was like, yeah, there was no ambivalent people. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Ambivalence wasn't there. You're not going to post if you're ambivalent anyway. So
That's true. Well, but first things first, congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you. And Steve, too. Wow.
Thank you. How awesome was that, Jeff? Where were you when you found out?
I was in the middle of a 12-step meeting.
Okay.
And I got a text from my manager going, call me right away. And then I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And then she sent a text that said Emmy nomination. So then I figured it out. So cool, man.
How crazy. After, like, because I did a cursory search in our IMDb, because with your crazy list of credits, I mean, those credits are celebration enough of your career, but how, like, of all the stuff you've done, would you have guessed that if you were to get Emmy nominated, it would be for General Hospital?
I would not have guessed that. No, I actually had dinner with three women that I worked on China Beach with last weekend. Our producer just passed a couple weeks ago, and I would have thought. I mean, I guess Dana Delaney won an Emmy for that. I think Marg Helgenberg might have as well. Chloe Webb was there with us, and that was what I thought would have maybe qualified for an Emmy, but apparently not.
So it goes. Well, one very astute person told me on the first time I was nominated, a partner of an actor that I worked with in a play, and I ran into him in Tahunga Village in Studio City. And he's like, how's your day, man? And I said, I just got nominated for an Emmy. He's like, oh my God, wow. Well, what was it for? And I said, General Hospital. And he said, oh, well, they look the same. So, like,
that's messed up, dude. Who is this guy? Give me his number, dude.
Yeah, I know. So, but all to say,
listen, he doesn't want Cyrus and Jason after him, does he?
Yeah, right. No, but all to say, in an act on an actor's mantle, with your list of credits, an Emmy fits there regardless of where it's from, is all I'm saying. It just fits there perfectly well.
If I had one, it would be in front of me right now or behind me. And you would say, what is that? And I go, that, I didn't even know that was there.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know who the daytime actress was. It reminds me of a story. I don't know who it was. It was someone who was a freaking beast of an actress. But she had been on daytime for a long time and then started going back out for calls. And, so she started bringing her Emmy with her, and cause they were like, so what have you been up to for the last 10 years? And she would just slam it on her desk.
And then I love that.
And I got to find out who it was, because it's a true story and I want to know, but what a great way to start a conversation.
Oh,
well, Shelley Winters, it was said she was asked to audition later in her career. And she walked in, there were two young producers sitting there, and they said, so you're going to read for us? And she said, she opened up her satchel and took one Oscar, bam, second Oscar, bam, and she said, there's my effing audition.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I love that. There.
That's amazing.
Did she get it?
I doubt it.
Yeah. That's it's amazing how those things don't earn you anything else.
No, but the satisfaction of being able to do that, come on.
Oh yeah.
Sure, I know.
Oh,
for sure.
For sure. So
Jeff, what did you submit for your highlight reel? What was the Cyrus highlight reel?
You know, I suppose there was me arguing with Brianna's character, and there was all the stuff where I was trying to get my mother to love me and trying to get
that stuff. That was such a great. I thought that was so great for your character, the vulnerability that you had, and that and you weren't afraid to go there, which was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Because a lot of heavies don't want to really go there, and. That was the most fascinating part of it. I was so enthralled on how you were like the scenes, how you would talk about your mother, or just even the stuff that you and I were doing head to head. You were showing me all your cards about your mother, which I thought was super cool. So anyway,
oh, wow, great.
Yeah, and, I thought it was awesome.
And you, you know, who was it, Laura? Someone said. You're working with Steve. I hope you learned your lines, because it's like I would have two pages of dialogue and then you would say, not tonight.
You know, that is true with people like Cyrus. That is true. But I have to fight for myself and you. But at least these last 3 days, dude, I've been the recap idiot.
Oh, no. You've been
I had like a four-page recap of like Dawn of Day and all this stuff that went on the show right before you got there. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And even Laura Wright was like, "What are you doing?" Like I said, I didn't write it. I got to recap it. She's like, "I've You're never not a recapper."
I've never heard Jason Morgan do exposition ever.
It's horrible. It's the worst. It's the worst acting ever, too, by the way. So anyway,
yeah, it's hard to make a motivated.
So, fantastic.
Yeah. Did you have some scenes with Jeannie on there? Jeannie Francis?
Yeah. With Jeannie. A lot of the really good stuff I did with Jeannie, though, happened after the first of the year.
Well, I was going to say
next year.
I was going to say I caught some stuff recently. And gosh, if you want to, I think you probably you already have great stuff for next year, which is awesome.
Oh, for sure.
And it got me thinking a little bit about, like, you know, I mean, how long has Cyrus been? Has it been about a year and a half, 2 years, or is it?
Well, you know, I feel sort of like Gilligan. It was a 3 month job that turned into a year and a half.
Right,
a 3 month tour.
So it lasted I started like January of 2020, just before the lockdown, you know, when we locked down in March. We were off for like 4 months, and then I came back, and all that stuff about the mother and connecting me with Michael Knight's character and Jeannie's character was all like, how do we keep him around and what are we going to have him do? So that was like, that was gravy. It was just fantastic. And to be employed while so much of Hollywood was shut down, you know, we were pioneers. We were the second show to come back, I think.
Yeah.
First or second. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, because obviously it's a soap opera and you're probably not gone forever. Knowing our show, I would probably put a bet on that. But it's interesting to see if they could, just because they've tied you in with Jeannie Francis, and it's interesting to see what they would do to maybe try to redeem you a little bit to make it, you know, make it okay, as opposed to just kind of resurfacing and wreaking havoc again. I just don't know if your character could necessarily do that with your relationship with Jeannie.
Well, I suggested to Frank that maybe Cyrus goes to the big house and, you know, finds religion and comes back as an itinerant evangelist preacher and, you know, really tries to sell people on accepting Christ into their life. And he didn't buy it.
Well, or like becomes his own leader of a cult. Like,
a cult? Why not?
Right. Right.
I've done that as an actor.
But what made me watching the stuff that you did with Genie and, you know, watching kind of him come apart of the seams a little bit, it made me think, you know, coming into this before they gave you that emotional tie about wanting mother's love, or I think the line you had from with Genie was the love that you get, like, I want some of that, you know, that was really cool. But obviously when you came in, you didn't, that information didn't exist yet.
None of it.
So what ended up happening was that this arc of this character going from, you know, like feared man to and then finally coming apart of the seams, like that's an arc of sorts, but you didn't know that, an arc that you didn't know you were on.
The writers build the arc, don't they? I mean, you say, why am I doing this? Well, because it's written, and you know, and then the audience has to make sense of it. And this is something that I learned, when I did Law and Order SVU, I was this cult leader who had I was responsible for the murder of like 23 kids, and I had a 12 and a half year old wife with whom I was trying to birth the second coming,
SVU does not mess around.
Apparently not.
SVU is not for the faint of heart.
Mariska won her Emmy for that episode. I played it as a man of God. I didn't play it as a heavy.
Yeah.
And so I was just a man of God. And it was the context that made it awful.
Right.
Sure,
you know.
Of course.
You know. So I was just being a guy who happened to believe in God and wanted to bring other people along, and just and of course you don't really deal with the aspect of killing people because a sociopath doesn't either.
Sure.
So and you can't fake sociopathy, but you can be someone who doesn't care about that because you just don't add it into your equation. So
right.
Do you think Cyrus doesn't care about that?
I think that his need for power and love and acceptance outweighs the life of people who aren't as important as he is.
Yeah.
That's the way it seemed to me. You know, it's like when he was going to get rid of his sometime girlfriend there because she was overdosing in his apartment. He's just like, you know, dump her.
Yeah.
Don't take her to the hospital. What are you doing with you?
Right. And that was Sasha too, right?
Yeah, Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have hung on to her.
Well, without the drugs.
They had a line in there where I have her in my apartment and she's strung out. She's really high. And she dances over to me and says, you know, you made me feel really good. Now I want to make you feel really good. And my line was, who are you trying to punish, Sasha, yourself or someone else?
Oh, my
and
God.
I said it, and then I turned the camera and went, which no man has ever said.
said no man ever.
Yeah, totally. That's goodness. So, I mean, do you, having now come to, you know, this part of the arc, if it is the end or if they're whatever, but looking back, when you were doing some of that stuff at the end, were you trying to connect the arc, or did having accomplished that now, what is the satisfaction of, like, is there satisfaction with where it's at, like, or what has been accomplished?
Absolutely, because the last week of shooting, or the week where all that big stuff was there, where I was in the, you know, hostage situation and ready to kill Genie's character and myself. It was like, I left it all there. There was not anything that I took home with myself, you know? So it was like, that's, you know, as actors, that's the best we can ask for. That we put ourselves into it entirely, left it there and walked away going, and leave it to someone else to sweep up the pieces. And if it comes back, it comes back. If it doesn't, I'm so satisfied with the experience I had and with all the fantastic people I got to work with.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Rumor had it, though, that the crew did applaud one of your scenes. Is this true?
Yeah, that happened.
Listen, for everyone listening to this, that is a rarity on our set, is when the crew gets that. And listen, these people are there every day watching all this crazy crap we do, and they see behind the scenes. They're not really connected. But when something as powerful as what Jeff did affects them like that, And they clap, you know that you've done something. Like, you've hit a human nerve where people are like, wow, they have to respond by clapping. And I thought that was awesome, man. So cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So cool.
I was there was one other time when they applauded where we did what I thought was my final scene. And I said, thank you, goodbye. And I was, shaking hands and hugging. People were climbing down off their machines. And one of the producers came running out and said, no, you have one more day.
You're not done.
I said, well, that's awkward.
You guys don't have to clap next time. Thank you so much, Jeff. That's awesome. Amazing. What's going on outside, Jeff? Are you auditioning? Are things picking up that way? Or
I've auditioned a little bit. And I've been working a lot on my other, I have some art prints that I have in a store, and I'm printing out some new ones of those. And I have a tintype photography series that I'm in the middle of doing, and
awesome,
just submitted to a show in New York. And I'm using the time to write. I have two books that I'm trying to finish, and I got plenty to do, and I get to audition once in a while. So,
coming off of what you just did, everyone's ready for the next job, I guess. But like, does the prospect of jumping into other work or having a little bit of a break to kind of stretch your creativity in other ways or give a certain part of your psyche a break, is that something you were looking forward to, or you're just like, what's next?
No, I was looking forward to a little time off. And then in terms of, I tell you what, I learned so much about acting doing this show. Just the importance of, knowing your lines cold, no matter what, and the importance of throwing yourself into the moment, regardless of how much homework you've done. the willingness to do that. I really want to try that out in another show, in another venue where you're shooting maybe 8 pages a day instead of 120.
Yeah. Right. So let me ask you, with that mindset, if you're doing an episodic or you're doing a movie, did you feel like you might have had a couple to get warmed up and then go for that, as opposed to our show where you're like, hey, you got one take, you might as well lay it out on the freaking table and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's on episodic, you always have a chance to try different things and to mold the performance a little bit. And to the thing about episodic is that you trust the editors to not use your funky takes, and to you find yourself giving more on the close up than on the medium shot.
Sure.
And on this one, there's no such thing as close up and medium.
It's all in one.
They're shooting it all at once, and so there's no real there's no real molding of the performance on this yet. In other stuff, there is. But I've been sort of preparing for that over the last few years, because a lot of the stuff over the last few years has been, you know, a guest star on something and they put all your stuff on one day. So you're stepping into a fully formed family, a group of people, and you don't have time to, you know, get your feet wet, and then you have to jump in. Yeah. So I've been practicing that anyway. And, you know, and acting is such an exercise in self-sufficiency and being willing to be open regardless of if anyone is approving of it or not.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always something that you're dealing with and stepping past and finding your own way of stepping past it in whatever situation you're in. Yeah. So I was getting ready for this kind of a gig, but still nothing. You know, my very first day on the show, I can't remember if you were in it or not, but Sonny visited me at Pentonville. Okay. And I was in an orange jumpsuit and there was,
yes, I remember. You know, yeah.
We do a scene and they say, okay, good. Then they name the next scene we're going to do. And I went, oh, okay. And then we do a scene one time and it's the same blocking. So we're not doing any blocking rehearsal. We do it again. Okay. And then by the third one, we did it in just one take. And I went, this is effing ridiculous. and I forgot I was mic'd, and the whole crew just cracked up because they're all listening to me.
That's so funny. So, sorry, Brad, I'll let you talk in one second. I just had one more question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how did Jeff doing? I mean, you've done so many projects over the years. How did it feel to be able to do, you know, the unraveling scenes that you were that we were speaking of? How did it feel to do once or twice instead of, you know, doing the master, doing the medium, doing the close up, and having to do it over and over and over again? How fulfilling is it for you coming from, you know, the other world where you can do one take and be in the moment and hit all the emotional highs and lows and they get it? And you're like, for me, I'm like, thank God, because I'll never be able to do that again.
I felt that way, that it was because if it's your only shot, why wouldn't you just give it your all? Right. And, you know, and I was like, and I didn't really map out what I was going to be doing on a given day. I just kind of let the moment guide me. And I remember the moment when I realized what that last scene with Jeannie meant, that because she's saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I'm like, and I've already said, I'm not going back to prison. So I'm going to. I realized, oh, wait, that means I kill her then myself. So that means you've got to go to a place where this guy who is willing to kill anybody who gets in his way is going to kill himself. Mm. So emotionally, that has to be someplace, oof, you know, if you're going to make that real, yeah, you know, it has to be someplace pretty deep and pretty, you know, coming apart at the seams. And I remember the moment when I realized that and went, okay. And for whatever reason, I was in the flow of just being able to, you know, and it's just, you know, it's the planets are aligned and the gods are on your side and you ate the right things the day before. And it's just, it's, you know, that stuff doesn't just happen, man.
No, totally. And the camera people get it perfectly, and the sound, yeah, nothing happened with sound. And there was no noises to distract you, and it just worked, and you got it, and you're like, "Thank you."
Well, because
and you've got someone like Jeannie,
oh yeah,
across the, you know, and by that last stuff we were doing, Jeannie and I would look at each other, and both of us would just start welling up with tears.
Yeah, it's awesome
because she is so empathic and so there and so present. It was just, and that makes it so special and so much less work.
Totally.
When you're preparing, you know, because for single camera stuff, in the stuff that I've done, I haven't really had to chart that kind of arc or have a day like that either. Where, I mean, would you, if you were doing this material in single camera, would you pace yourself? Would you plan for the biggest release in your close-up, or would you try to replicate and have a real moment every single time? Like, and you know, energy wise, how would that work for you? How would you have planned for it in a single camera setting?
Well, you have to, for me, I remember I did a show, there was a show called Nothing Sacred. And it was Kevin Anderson was the lead. He was a priest. And this was Robert Young, who was a big documentary director. He was directing, because I was a recurring on this, and I was the ne'er-do-well brother. And there was this scene we had where we finally speak to each other, and we're in a confessional. He's on one side, and I'm on the other. And they start with a close-up on me, and they pull back like a 20-foot track, you know, and then we're using film still, and then they push in onto him. So I talk, they're pulling back, and then they push in, he talks, and then he asks me a question, and then they cut over to me, and I've gone. We don't really know when I left, but he's telling me all this stuff where he finally loves me and all of that. We did that thing 15 times, and you know, Kevin is a Broadway actor, and he's extraordinary. And Robert Young was just so supportive and so insisting on be simple, just really sitting on me to make sure that I didn't make anything up. And it was this experience of, it was 15 times. Everyone was emotionally full and energetically completely present. And, you know, falling apart in a different way each time. Every single time was completely different. And okay. So it's like the commitment to the moment and to the emotion of the scene and to the really to the relationship. That's what you're really committing to, right. Is that relationship. Right. And then letting something else determine how it happens.
Okay.
That's the way that I work. You know, it's
interesting.
Just like, yeah, it's like, the, you know, I don't know how I'm going to say anything. I don't know. And it depends on what the listening of the other person, because.
Well, sure.
Yeah. You know, so all of that. So the idea of pacing is in there so that you don't hit a note that you can't go beyond later on.
Sure.
But committing yourself to a certain moment is you're committing yourself to that moment and letting your instrument decide what's too much and what's not, or, you know.
Yeah.
Not
yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like with, cause that's how I like to, like, I never want to be like, oh, I got to hit these moments. And, but with single camera, since I haven't done it as much, like sometimes in my head, I'm like, ooh, do I have to match something? Do I have to match that? And getting tied into those like restrictions that I don't want to be, that I don't creatively, I don't want to be tied into, but I feel like if I don't, am I hurting setting back the director or the editors or whatever, but you know what I mean?
I always say matching is for sissies.
Yes.
And it, of course it's not. And, but it's, you end up matching what needs to be matched. Like, you know, if you're, you know, if you have something on your face and you have to wipe it off, you better remember, or the script supervisor better remember where you wiped it off.
Right.
And if you're sitting with your head in your hands, you better remember that. But emotionally, you tell the story each time and you let yourself be as full as you can be each time and trust that they'll use the one that tells the story the best.
Yeah,
right.
That's awesome. That's great advice.
And to remember that, the director and the editor and the producers want to look good too.
Mm.
So, and the more you bring, the better they look, and the better they cut you together, the better they look.
Yep.
So I it's a really good question, and it's a really valid question. And you know, if you've really done your homework, you're going to be in a ballpark.
Sure.
And if you're, there's some thing that you start feeling what size you are, what size they're shooting. And I'll look at the camera, go, where am I? About here? They go, yeah. You know, just because you get used to it after a while. And so your system kind of knows what to do. Apparently Robert Mitchum, it's Carl Malden, used to mess up his medium shots. So that they would have to use his close-up.
I love that.
he'd always stumble or That's trip amazing. Over some words or something, and so that they had to use his close-ups.
That amazing. Yeah, well, because I also one of the things I always worried, you know, because I in single camera probably the, you know, we on soaps we do a lot of or the soap calls for we decide what to do or not, like big stuff, big and physically energetic, vocally energetic, and you know I've often thought if I had to do this 15 times vocally. Because I always worry about my vocal energy and I always try to be healthy. Right. Like I notice, you know, I trained in for the, you know, on stage. And so like, I try to be vocally healthy with every choice that I make. And so if you're freaking out, sometimes it's hard to be vocally healthy. And if you're freaking out and you got to do it 15 more times, what's that going to like, oh, that makes me nervous.
But is that already in your head though? Like, is that an impediment in a way of you're already kind of thinking about that? That's a little bit of a block and you're not going for it.
I don't know.
You know,
it's interesting. That's an interesting question. I don't know.
I think that happens, but it only happens rarely.
Sure.
That you have to go that big. And, you know, and there are, I actually have a voice teacher here in the Valley who taught me how to, you know, she teaches rock and rollers how to scream without hurting their voices.
Yeah.
You know, she trained someone to sing like Janis Joplin without hurting her voice. And
wow.
You know, and so, yeah, that just happens so rarely, but it does happen. And,
right.
And
yeah.
if you're not paying attention, then yeah, you blow out your voice and then you're screwed.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But thankfully man. In soaps, we only have to do it once.
Maybe and twice. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing. If all of a sudden, you know, someone like Steve, who has that one line at the end of the scene, you do your scene and you're brilliant, and then Steve looks at you, and all of a sudden you realize he went up, and you're like,
well, they could pick that up, dude.
That's true.
It's not one shot. It's not one shot.
Doesn't that always happen though? It's the person with less lines.
Listen,
that goes up in the scene.
Yeah. If it's recap, I might forget. If it's recap, I might forget it. But if it's not recap, we're going to be good.
Have you ever had cue cards?
No.
Has anyone ever used cue cards?
They stopped. Yeah. Well, yes. A few of the older, when I first got on the show, a few of the older actors at the time would have actually teleprompters. When I did Days of Our Lives in 1986 or 7, they actually had a cue card guy. They had a cue card
for everybody.
Room. Anybody who wanted them.
Wow.
And it was crazy because that's a whole skill in itself.
Well, but that was also when they were shooting like an entire episode in one day. It was like an episode a day, right?
Yeah.
There was no block shooting.
And it was live to tape, right? Or
we'd block in the morning and then we'd start after lunch basically shooting.
Yeah.
So you'd rehearse, you'd block, and then you'd shoot. But, you know, back then there was line cuts. They weren't filming every camera all the time. So you'd have the skill of when the other person's light was on, you'd be looking at your cue card.
Oh my God.
And then they'd be back for their line. So
that's weird.
It's kind of weird, right? It's like you might as well just be on the news. You might as well just be going, and today the weather is going to be, you know, I mean, what the heck? I don't even know how you could even act that way.
Yeah, that's a totally different skill.
Yeah, it's a crazy, that's crazy. Yeah. So,
yeah,
but
wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
Jeff,
well, hey, this was so much fun to,
yeah,
to
so
really talk
fun,
craft
dude.
With you and hear how you approached it. And man, such great work. Such great work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
awesome, you. Dude. Much respect. I hope you come back for a long time and stay with us. And
I hope you kidnap me again.
I'm gonna ask if they bring me back. I'm gonna have them put it in the contract.
Wait, hold on. Spinelli's gonna
and
start.
Congratulations
working
to you, Steve. How many times have you been nominated?
I wish I had an answer.
Have you won?
Eight, I think. Eight times I've been nominated. About eight
and
or nine.
Maybe. How many times have you won?
Twice.
Wow.
Twice, yeah. So
that's
yeah,
fantastic.
It's amazing, man. Being nominated is really like winning's great, of course, but being nominated consistently, that's awesome because
yeah,
that means your peers are like, hey, this guy's still after 25 years on the show, he's still working, you know, which is great. And
showing and doing something that's worth looking at and that is affecting.
Yeah, totally.
And in normal times, you know, the gathering is truly just a celebration of, you know, the genre and still being around. And, you know, to have your hat in the ring as you know, an integral player of that gathering is just fun, because you really feel part of the community in that respect.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, so for sure. So if you come back and you submit next year, which you should, because I think they plan on having the Emmys in person next year.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
And you know what? I hear they look the same.
As what?
As the real Emmys, according to Brad.
Right. That was my story from the beginning. He brought it back. See, he's skilled. He brought it back. Yes. Yeah. No, they look exactly the same. It's just
I thought you meant the presentation. I get it now. Okay.
The acronym is off by one letter. I think it's Addis and Natus, right? I think
Addis
it's
Addis and Natus.
The National Academy of Television and Arts and Sciences versus the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
Yeah. Not sure.
So
and our which one are we?
We're Natus.
The Academy?
We're the National Academy of Television.
We're the National Academy.
Natus, I think.
So we got an extra letter. That's fantastic.
Yeah, there we go.
Yep. But the statues
Jeff
are
Kober.
The same.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for your time, brother. We appreciate you, man. Good luck Friday.
Woo woo.
Good luck to you, man.
Thanks, dude. It's going to be
right.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Appreciate you.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.